Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello and welcome to the Cricket Collective. I'm John Norman. Alongside me today, Steve Harmison, as we bring you a preview to England's T20 series with South Africa. On the show today, you'll hear from TalkSport 2's lead commentator Mark Butcher, who says that the England squad has one glaring omission.
I still think the Joe Root gets in our best 15. Me, I think it's completely mad that England are kind of writing off a player of his quality.
And former South African T20 all-rounder Alfonso Thomas says England's batsmen need to beware.
You obviously mentioned Rabada, you've got Lugan Giri, you've got Nokia, who's had a fantastic RPL.
You'll also hear on the show today from Kagiso Rabada and national selector Ed Smith. So many talking points to discuss ahead of TalkSport 2's live and exclusive coverage, so we better get started. You're listening to The Cricket Collective. Well, alongside me as ever, Steve Harmison. Harmy, look, we've only got 60 minutes really to preview what should be a ridiculously action-packed T20 series. It's not been that long since these two sides came up against each other, England winning that series 2-1. But, you know, as is the way with T20 cricket, they could have actually won the first one, then lost the second one. It could have been 2-1 South Africa. Rusi van der Dussen, I'm going to hear from him a bit later on. He's certainly got a few regrets from the way it panned out at the start of the year. But let's have a look, shall we? Because Moeen Ali spoke last week. He said this is probably the first time the full-strength England T20 team has been back together since 2016 T20 World Cup. You know, such is the manner of cricket these days. But shall we try and work out what our starting 11 is going to be?
Oh, good luck on that one. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great series. And like you said, there's history there because of the last 2020, each of these two sides played in a meaningful game. Well, South Africa's last games were against England. So, and there was it was a fantastic series. So trying to get this 15-man squad down to 11 is going to be very, very difficult. There's probably, if you go sort of process of elimination, you're probably down to 13, because I'd take Rhys Topley and Sam Billings out of the 15 for the first game.
Yeah, they are out. I've got a list here.
Yeah,
and so, those are the only two.
Yeah,
I'm confident won't play.
Well, you've got Ryan. It looks like it's going to be Ryan Butler going in first. So we go through the batting lineup. You've got Roy Butler going to go in first.
Yeah, I've got that.
Johnny Bairstow batted three during the T20 series against South Africa, I think. But then you've got David Milan, who is the number one ranked batsman in World T20. He actually said yesterday or the day before that doesn't guarantee him a place. So he might be getting vibes from over in Cape Town that, you know, England might be looking to leave him out. The captain has to play at number four.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Stokes probably bats at number five. So if Milan's going to play, then Johnny Bairstow, for me, doesn't.
Hang on. I've got Ryan Butler.
Yeah.
Bairstow at three. Morgan at four. Milan at five. And Stokes at six.
Well, I've got Moeen at six. I've got Moeen Ali at six. I'm going with one less batsman, because I think I want options. If I was Owen Morgan, the way T20 is going in the world, I think five frontline batsmen, Moeen Ali at six with the two currents, 7, 8, Jordan at nine,
Oof.
Potentially is enough. batten in a unit for 20 overs to see a right. The onus is on the batsman to score runs, and I've got six bowling options.
Okay. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
In international cricket, which batsman has got the highest strike rate? Who is the fastest scoring T20 batsman since the start of 2018? Minimum 10 matches played. He's in the England side, and he's one of our batsmen. Owen Morgan's one. Jason Roy is second. Moeen Ali,
yeah. And well, that's why I want to bat him at six.
One of the reasons. See, there is a lot said about Moeen Ali, and you know, we spoke to him last week on Talk Sport. Certainly, from the outside, it looks like he doesn't have the confidence of the Moeen Ali from 2 years ago. But because coming in at number seven means you bat so rarely, essentially, in terms of the balls faced, his style of batting is absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
The problem with Moeen Ali is whilst the stats back up his inclusion in terms of batting, it doesn't in terms of bowling. Because in the last couple of years, his economy is at around 8.5, and he's only taken, I think, two wickets in eight games. Are we picking Moeen Ali thinking his bowling is going to come back to the fore? Or are we picking Moeen Ali for his, average of his strike rate facing five deliveries a game? But with a T20 World Cup coming up in India, what do we do? Because you can move him up to six. You can play Sam Curran ahead of him. You can do a lot of things. But essentially, at some point, we're going to need that second spinner. And based on the stats, the last couple of years, Ali can't be trusted to be that second spinner.
Yeah, absolutely right. But I think listening to him speak the other day seems as though he's got a little bit of his mojo back. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes on this trip, whether it is a make or break trip for Moeen Ali, as in the whole package Moeen Ali, as in white ball and red ball, because bear in mind, January, February and March, we've got to go to Sri Lanka and to India, and where we're going to need two, possibly three spinners. And if that's the case, he's more or less said he's ready to play test cricket again. He's going to throw his hat in the ring. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. I'm going to trust and back Moeen Ali, the cricketer. I think he is a special talent. Because the other option would be, because of the last time the World T20 was in the subcontinent, England got to the final, and arguably England's best spinner during that time is Joe Root. And looking at the way he's performing at this minute in time, how England cast him aside so quickly. But I can understand the manage the workload and everything that goes with it, because you could argue that Joe Root would be England's probably second best spinner at this moment in time. So I'm going to back Mo. I think the reason why I'm playing Sam Curran, Tom Curran and Jordan in that little middle block is they can get me quick runs. But also, if I've got Rashid Archer, Jordan, Curran, there's five bowlers there. Moeen doesn't have to bowl. He's allotted four. There's not as much pressure on him. You potentially got a little bit of Ben Stokes. So you've actually got seven options of frontline bowlers. So, you know, for me, Morgan's got a well-balanced a side which he can throw the ball to at any point and not have to worry that he's got a bowl. He's allotted four overs.
I still think that problem is going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
Bairstow. Look, go back 2 years, right? Johnny Bairstow was batting pretty well at six and seven. He had more test centuries then at six or seven than Butler's got now. Butler was then brought in. Bairstow was pushed up the order, messed around, now he's out the test team. Despite having on paper, I would say, a record that more than stands up to the bloke that came in to replace him. Now, go back a couple of years again, it wasn't Johnny Bairstow at the top of the order, was it? It was Alex Hales of Jason Roy.
Yeah.
No way was anybody going to get in and disrupt that. But it was disrupted even before Alex Hales off-field in... we all know what he got up to. But but now we're in a position where, for me, the Roy Bairstow partnership does not need tinkering with, but we're going to do it all over again, aren't we? And now we're saying, hang on, Bairstow might not even get in the side.
Yeah, he's easy man out for me, Johnny. It's this, for some reason, I think Johnny's face doesn't fit. and I don't know why, because I think Johnny Bairstow's a good, he's a lovely lad. He's got you know, a decent character, decent heart, and when it comes to actually hitting the ball, I don't think there's many better. I think he gets himself, you know, that leg side position, hits the ball very, very well through, sort of hits it straight very well. He hits it through extra cover over the top. And he cuts and pulls nicely. So I think he's got the all-round game to go in the power play overs, as shown in the IPL. But David Milan is, when he has come in, and this is the conundrum which you get to when you have players who play IPL cricket, red ball, white ball, all formats, because you have to rest them. You have to give them some time to, you know, recharge their batteries. But unfortunately, some people come in and do very, very well when they're only, you know, one format player, i.e. David Milan. Tom Curran plays ODIs as well, but you've got Chris Jordan. We'll put Tom Curran in that bowl, and you've got David Milan. They muddy the waters a little bit, because in an ideal world, Mark Wood plays all formats, but you have to rest him for games. He would be in my best 11. You've got Johnny Bairstow, who played all formats, got left out for David Milan to come in and be the best player, or the number one ranked batsman in the world in 2020 cricket. So then he has to play. And all of a sudden, I'm standing here thinking, well, two of my best players that I want to pick, I'm not picking because of, well, we give them a rest to protect them because they play all format games. So that does sometimes come back to bite you on the backside. But I think the way Milan has performed in England shirt, I think he deserves to keep his place.
I think you're right. I think if you turn around to a guy that has boasted the figures that he has, the consistency that he has, that he has won games that he has, that has risen to number one in the world like he has, if you turn around to that guy and say, no, you're not in the team, then suddenly you're going to be accused of favouritism. The old adage, easier to get in the team than out it. It's that kind of situation. So
I get that, but I'm also, if I'm Mark Wood or Johnny Bairstow, I'm going, hold on, I'm out the side because I was having a rest. I was given a rest. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just, I'd played, I'd been on this tour, I'd been on that tour, I'd been playing red ball cricket, I'd been playing white ball cricket. The 2020s came up in the summer. We had a biosecure bubble. You know, Mark Wood's the most unluckiest bloke going for me, because he got picked in the test team at the start of the summer, played the first test match, rightly so. England should have kept this formula going with Wood and Archer. Stuart Broad has a hissy fit, goes in public, selectors back down, start picking Broad again, wants to pick Broad again. Wood's then now out of the one-day series against the Pakistan and the West Indies, because you can't bounce from each bubble. And then when it comes to the back end of the summer, you know, all of a sudden he hasn't played enough cricket to get established in the side. So we've got to be careful on how we bring the sides together, but also how we utilise these players that are playing. Because if you're a one-format player, in the way the world is at the moment, COVID world, you are easier to use. Because, right, you just go into that bubble and there you go. If you're a cross-format player and you play a lot of cricket, then all of a sudden you get a rest every now and again. But you're getting a rest on the selector's choice, not on performance-based your choice. Bairstow goes and has a decent IPL. He's only out of it because of the way the structure of Hyderabad. And all of a sudden he's out of the England team now. So as much as I'm not playing him in this team because of the reasons I've given, but we've got to be careful on how we use our players and how we rest our players, and sometimes have the big enough leadership and say, right, well, hold on, even you are the best player ranked in the world because your numbers state that, you only got in because we rested Johnny Bairstow. So, Johnny, you're in the side. So,
well, Harmy,
crazy.
They're both in my side. I go with Roy, Bairstow, Butler, Morgan, Milan, Stokes, Ali at 7, Sam Curran, Tom Curran or Chris Jordan, one of Rashid, Wood and Archer.
Here's one for you then.
Go on.
They don't play at Cape Town, they don't play Mo and Ali. So do they then leave Bairstow in, cop out, go with the top six that you've got, but instead of Mo and Ali at 7, England might just play all seamers and play the two Currans and Jordan, as well as Archer and Rashid, and just play the one frontline spinner.
What you should have said is, you've just named 12 players there, John.
Yeah, you've named 12 players, but you've still got to leave. I do that all the time.
I was just counting out, confusing ourselves. Like, hang on, that sounds like an amazing thing. Right, plenty more insights coming up on the Cricket Collective. This is a preview of the South Africa series, T20 series, which gets underway on Friday. Myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison, who will be one of the main men, part of the TalkSport 2 commentary team. And you're listening to the Cricket Collective.
Here is John John Smutson again, and Jason Roy goes the biggest one of all. Yes. Oh, he's bowled him, he's on a hat-trick. Jordan's got straight through, driven down the ground by de Kock, straight back over the bowler's head, onto the side screen for six more. Runs away from us, up to the crease now, bowls. Oh, bowled him! He's bowled him! Here comes Tom Curran, last ball of the game, and it's paddle swept, and down towards short fine leg, caught by Adil Rashid, and England have won the game by two runs.
Welcome to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. I'm John Norman, alongside me Steve Harmison, and pleased to say TalkSport 2's lead commentator and host for the upcoming series between South Africa and England on TalkSport 2. Mark Butcher joins me now. Still in quarantine for a day or two, Butch, after heading over to Pakistan for the PSL. Well, look, you've had plenty of time on the plane back from Pakistan to try and work out what me and Harmy have failed to do so far, and that is, how do you get 11 players out of what Darwin Milan said is the toughest team in world sport to get into ahead of this first T20? Let's start at the top. That's where you should always start. Where do you sit, because myself and Harmy slightly disagree on this, on the Joss Butler conundrum? Should he be opening or should he be in the middle?
Oh, Matt. Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Welcome back.
Right, back and on. Well, listen, I've been reasonably consistent on this for years, and my feeling on it hasn't changed, really. We're talking about sort of trying to win a T20 tournament, right? Tournament play, World Cup, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, as much as it would be great to have Joss Butler at the top of the order and batting 20 overs every game and scoring 170 or whatever he'd be capable of doing if he backed it for that long, my feeling is that England have a preponderance of players who could all bat at numbers one and two, right? Because in many ways, in 20-over cricket, it is the easiest time to bat. There's very little pressure. The run rate is what it is. The whole game is mapped out in front of you. You've got as long as you like. And for that reason, I would rather have Joss Butler as a man to insert as and when required down the order, and I would leave Roy and Bairstow at the top of the order. Johnny's been brilliant over a long period of time. He's also, you know, just been very successful in the role in the ITL. And so I don't see any reason to move. If you move Johnny Bairstow out of the top position, or Jason Roy for that matter, then neither of them perhaps should play. And so in order to get the very best out of everybody that you have in the squad, rather than sort of skew it in favour of one guy in Joss Butler, that's how I would go about it.
But Butch, do you not think, I agree a little bit with that in the way that David Milan then complicates matters, because if you go, David Milan is the ranked number one batsman in world T20, has been for nearly a year now. Yeah. If you have him in that order, at number three, then all of a sudden, if Johnny Bairstow opens a bat and Butler comes down the order, somebody like Owen Morgan, Ben Stokes or Joss Butler potentially might not bat, might even only face four or five balls. If that's my worry. Milan, for how well he's played over the course of the last 18 months, for me, he has to keep his place in the side, because if you're leaving people out like that, then...
Milan at the moment has Joe Root's spot in the side, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Because if Joe's going to play, he would bat in the top three as well. And he deserves to be there. The thing with David Milan is people can kind of scoff and go, well, you know, not entirely sure that he has a pedigree. Well, I mean, you know, his strike rate's up there in the 140s. He scored masses of runs and simply deserves his place in the side. And so he would be there at three. The one thing about having the length then of having Morgan, Stokes, Butler in sort of padded up in the dugout behind those guys at the top three is that there is never any excuse not to have your foot as hard down on the pedal as you possibly can. So I doubt, particularly given the way that Morgan captains the team, I don't think that there's any reason why people would suddenly start selfishly playing for themselves and keeping those guys in the dugout, if you see what I mean. You know, they all have a license because of the strength that they have in the 11 to try and go as hard as they possibly can. I'm trying to do is line up the players who have the most in terms of their sort of mental capability, as well as hitting capability, because they've all got that. But who can, when the pressure starts to go up, which it does beyond the 10th over of a run chase or even setting in these days, is to have the people there that have the technical skill and the mental skill to cope with it when the pressure is at its greatest. As I've said, the pressure is not great. You know, top of the order is nowadays the easiest place in the world to bat. You've got the field up and you can pretty much do whatever you like. And if you fail, it doesn't matter. It starts to matter from numbers four downwards. You know, as we see, Mumbai won the IPL because they were unbelievably strong through the part that mattered the most, which is towards the end of an inning, not at the beginning.
Yeah, but you've got Moeen Ali, who is in the last sort of 2 years is England's highest strike rate of a. Yeah, but that's what I mean. His bowling might not have been as strong, but then you've still got someone like Moeen Ali who.
Well, let's talk about Ali, because I'd play him at seven. But you made mention of the year to come, Butch, and very much over the next couple of years, the focus in limited overs cricket from an English perspective, well, any international team's perspective, is going to be the two World T20s. Mm-hmm. Is Ali, as things stand today, if the World T20 was coming up in a month's time, would you feel confident with Ali being England's second spinner in India?
Difficult to say. I mean, because there is, I can't think of anybody better.
Mm. That's the problem, isn't it?
Which is the main problem. I'm not massively worried about anybody that doesn't bat in the sort of top six or seven. You kind of like, if they're outside of that and they've got great strike rates, then brilliant. But it's as an all rounder that he gets picked. At the moment, I pick him because I can't think of anybody better to do it, and he has the time and the chance to sort of rediscover some of his mojo with the ball between now and then.
You know, but could it not be a criticism of this England setup that we've got this situation where it's an incredibly strong side to get into, but looking at the options for Owen Morgan, there is no alternative to Moeen Ali in that squad.
No, there isn't. And, you know, and England might be thinking in the back of their minds that, you know, India is not sort of the country of dust bowls and spin being the sort of the be-all and end-all anymore. And some of the grounds are unbelievably small. So they might think to themselves, well, we can get away with only having Adil Rashid, you know, pretty much as they ended up doing in the World Cup at home. The 50-over World Cup, if you remember, England playing at home, all the pitches were flat and scores were huge, and England would all two spinners, but found out when the conditions changed that having both of them was a luxury that they couldn't afford, and they went for all seam. And if England go to all seam, they have so many options and so many guys that they could use who also can hit as well. We're talking about the Curran brothers, etc., Chris Jordan, Jofra Archer, you know, all of these guys can hit too. And so they might think to themselves, well, we can kind of do without the second one depending on the conditions.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I've just had a quick look at the 2016 scorecard, which, of course, was also held in India, West Indies and England. And England did go in with two spinners, the two that we're talking about now. Well, one of them, Moeen Ali and Adil Rashid. Ali didn't actually bowl.
No.
And it was Root Joe did. Root. Joe Root bowled one over and he took two wickets. Yeah. So it's a point in itself.
This is probably a conversation for another time because we're talking about what's coming up in terms of the South Africa series. But I still think that Joe Root gets in our best 15.
Could he get in ahead of Ali?
Possibly, but again, if he doesn't bat in the top, what I think England will miss or will need. Again, we're talking about tournament play. We're not talking about one-off games. When you're talking about trying to win a world tournament against the best players in the world, away from home, you know, all of those types of things. You need guys who have the brain power and the mental power as well as the physical power. Now, Joe Root, for me, I think it's completely mad that England are kind of writing off a player of his quality for an international tournament. And I bet you that in the months to come. He's not in the South Africa squad at the moment, but I bet you he ends up on the plane going to the World Cup.
Butch, where does your middle order and your bowlers, basically, where does your five bowlers sit for this tour? Because I'm of the opinion that, you know, my relationship with Mark Wood, and I think the world of him. But because of the people that's been playing around the world at this minute in time, he probably just misses out in my 11 because of I'm still trying to win tournaments. I'm still trying to win games. I'm still trying to keep this winning run going. And I need bowlers that are actually been bowling quite a bit recently, i.e. the IPL.
Again, you know, I watched Mark Wood bowl in England, and I think, potentially, particularly in the we're talking test matches a little bit now, particularly in the tests where, that sort of pace through the year is not the be-all and end-all in England. And you watch him, as we did, bowl in South African conditions with a Kookaburra ball, and it's a different story altogether. And so I think that Mark will play quite a significant part for England in these one days away from home. I think the way that England look at him and Silverwood looks at him is being an absolute ace in the hole for away from England. That's what I think. So, you know, again, I think if he's not in the 11, he's in the 12 when it comes down to it. But I think, you know, Archer, Stokes, Chris Jordan deserves to be there absolutely 100%. And I've actually got Mark Wood in my side for this game coming on Friday. Ben Stokes is obviously your fourth, with Adil Rashid in there as well. I mean, there is potentially, I think, Sam Curran then sneaks in as a sort of number seven, number eight, and a left arm option to give Alan Morgan a safety valve, because none of the top five batters that are in there at the moment bowl at all. So, you've got to have an all rounder or two all rounders perhaps in Stokes and Curran in order to give you the sixth bowling option.
Brilliant stuff, Butch. Absolutely fascinating. Be more than interesting to find out what 11 Owen Morgan does go with on Friday. But what strength, what riches!
The thing is, it's so difficult. I mean, generally speaking, we can also sit here and say that the selectors are mugs and they don't know what they're doing and they keep picking the wrong side. But genuinely, you could put out three different ones. Mm. And there are guys that we've just spoken about who aren't even in the squad for the T20s that could play. So very, very difficult. And I don't think there's a correct answer. We'll just have to see how they go.
Mark Butcher, TalkSport 2's lead commentator and host of the international cricket that we've got coming your way, starting Friday, that first T20 at Cape Town. You're listening to the Cricket Collective with myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison on TalkSport 2.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It.
Victoria's in. Oh, that's a huge hit! Massive hit for six over deep mid wicket. Right, Ben Stokes means business. He's in.
Sheet around the wicket. Miller swings it to the left side. Six more.
Here is Curran again. Bowls. Six more.
Gordon in.
Bowls to Cook over deep mid wicket. Six more. Oh.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2 with myself, John Norman, and Steve Harmison alongside me. The first T20 of three gets underway at 4 p.m. on Friday afternoon. Coverage starting at 3, and I'm pleased to say that former South African all-rounder and West Country man now, Alfonso Thomas, joins us, and he's going to be part of our commentary for the T20 leg. Alfonso, welcome to TalkSport, TalkSport 2, first off. But, well, it's a series that we're all looking forward to greatly. We were in South Africa at the start of the year, really keenly fought T20 series. And I suppose with the game that South Africa bring, the fact that they're at home, several of their top players have just had IPO experience. Even though they've had a lack of game time compared to England, it should be a pretty hotly contested series.
Hi, John. I think for me personally, I think the odds are massively stacked towards England. I don't think if you look at that South African squad, there's a lot of players there. If you go man for man against England, that you'll be quite scared of, really. You know, I do know in terms of the bowling side of things, they could certainly match England. But I just think that you guys have got too much firepower in the batting, really.
With T20 cricket, we saw quite a closely fought series last time around. I want to play a little bit of audio from Kagiso Rabada, who was just comparing what it was like to play in the IPL compared to playing international cricket.
It's definitely a lot more like superstardom hype, big media teams that are, content creator teams that are behind all the teams. There's a huge following. You have all the biggest stars in the world that go to that tournament. So I guess, yeah, there's going to be that, you know, that superstardom type hype. I'd say, yeah, international cricket is more serious, 100%. So I think you might be right. Although we do have fun in international cricket, you know, you're with guys that you know. And, you know, there's certain jokes that we have in the team, but I definitely think it's much more serious, even though the IPL is quite serious. We come together as a team and we all have one objective. But I think you're right. The IPL has a bit more funness to it, without saying that there is no fun in international cricket. Of course there is, but I think it's held at a higher prestige, most definitely.
He certainly says what he means, does Kagiso Rabada. And one of the things that I noticed when I was in South Africa is just how honest a lot of the players are with the journalists in a way that you just do not get in England. But is what he's saying true? I mean, I'll ask you both, I suppose, Harmy and Alfonso. Do we get a little bit too serious in and around international cricket? Harmy, you first.
It possibly means more because you're representing your country. You're not representing, you know, a franchise. You're representing the country of your birth, and you know, you're representing your family. You're representing everything that goes with playing for the country you were born in. I think that should mean more to anybody than anything else, as opposed to playing for a franchise. Because, you know, Kagiso Rabada's just said it there. He could be playing. He played for Delhi Capitals this year. He could be playing for Mumbai with the Mumbai or Chennai if the auction goes a certain way in a couple of months' time. So yes, the stardom that goes with it, but for me, there's nothing like playing cricket for your country.
Alfonso, I mean, you played IPL cricket. You've played a lot of franchise cricket around the world. Is it just a little bit more enjoyable?
I was going to say, in terms of the IPL, the teams that I've played in, it certainly becomes fun just when the teams are winning. Because I've come across owners, if the team's not winning, it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, that I will certainly say. I mean, there is probably that factor that it's a lot more fun, you know, but I would definitely still say that if you play for your country, it's definitely a serious business, but it becomes fun the moment you start winning.
Maybe it's one of the reasons it's so serious is because I suppose the line of questioning, it's not just about, and the way that you described it, Harmy, sums it up absolutely perfectly. But I suppose when you're being questioned and interviewed day in, day out as an international cricketer, it may be, and all the journalists are looking for news lines, they're looking for headlines to get in the paper, they've got to work at an angle. I suppose when you're playing T20 cricket, there's much less of that. It's just more about the game, the numbers on the board, playing the game. With international cricket, it's about the soap opera around it. I mean, maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe, Afonso, that's one of the reasons that after a few years on the treadmill, international cricketers are quite keen to get off it just to go and play T20 cricket.
Absolutely. Well, if you look at South Africa at the moment, the likes of AB de Villiers, you know, I also saw Tahir is not in the squad either, which is mind-blowing to me. Dale Steyn is not also not in the squad, and he was available for it. And I just think the guys want to just sort of distance themselves from that spotlight, you know, God knows why. But I just think it's just a day in, day out. Those kind of expectations are just becoming a burden for those players.
I think as well, Alfonso, I think when you go to these big leagues and these franchise leagues, there's 12, 13, 14 games in a 5-6 week period, as opposed to there's another game around the corner. There's another, again, you're quickly moving between venue, well, not so much now, this year, but you're quickly moving from game to game, looking at different opposition, where in international cricket, it's very much, we've only got three 2020s in this short block. And there seems to be a lot more pressure on individuals. The superstar, Geesa Rabada mentioned there. I'm going to mention two superstars' names here. And in the superstars' names in domestic, in franchise cricket, they've been completely different to they have been in international cricket. And I just wonder if the pressure of representing your country, even though it's not Jofra's country, but there's a marked difference between Jofra Archer playing for any franchise side as opposed to playing for England, as opposed to Geesa Rabada playing for South Africa and playing for what we've just seen, the Delhi Capitals. Does the shackles come off a little bit when you do play in these franchise games where you seem to enjoy it more?
Yeah, I think so. There's obviously, in this series now, there's going to be three games of T20 cricket, where, as you pointed out, there would have been 12, 13, 14 games in the IPL. And I just think that there's a massive expectation on these guys because they haven't won any sort of major tournaments. They have to try and get things right very quickly. And I just think that that is just major pressure for these guys to handle. But that comes with the territory.
Afonso, of all the players, though, when you're sitting down next to Steve Harmison and Gareth Batty and Mark Butcher, who are the ones South Africa-wise that you're just going to edge forward in your seat a little bit more when they come on to bowl or come out to bat? It may not be the the stellar team of 10 years ago or so, but they've still got some key individuals.
Yeah, but they didn't want anything. They didn't want anything. So they can't be a stellar team. I think a bowling attack of South Africa is going to be it's going to be very exciting to watch coming up against a very explosive batting lineup with England. You obviously mentioned Rabada, you've got Lungi Ngidi, you've got Norkia, who's had a fantastic RPL. I think those three seamers, and if I was England, I don't want to jump the gun here, but I would probably be looking at to match those guys. It will be Archer, Woods, and Sam Curran for me.
Well, there you go.
Interesting. And the batting, because this is arguably the discipline is probably going to come down to the batting, because you've mentioned there, Afonso, the seamers. We've got, no matter what team England plays, you know, we've got an array of power player bowlers who can take wickets. Yeah. And we've seen, if you get 3-4 wickets in a power player, your game's done. Your game's over. And I think both sides could potentially do that to the opposition. But we've also got, in a man who has just won the IPL, in Quentin de Kock at the top of the order, who had a fantastic three games against England in February, March time, who could potentially win games on his own.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But there's going to be massive pressure on him. If you compare that South African team to like a Mumbai Indians team, where there's going to be a lot of match winners to help him out, Well, I think in the South African team, there's going to be a lot more pressure on him to guard and perform. Faf, I would imagine, I don't think that he'll open the batting with Quinton. I just can't see them, those two guys, going up the order. You know, it's going to be a massive risk. But it could pay off as well. You know, it could pay off. But I think it's a major risk to have those two guys up.
Well,
by all accounts, if you look at the reports from Boucher, he's had conversation with AB, and I just can't see it happening yet. He's obviously just come back from the IPL. He would have been away from home. He's just had a new kid as well. So I can't see that changing. I think that they're going to line him up for the T20 World Cup. But then saying that, he has to come in and play it, because it is just gonna cause such a massive uproar if he just goes straight into that World Cup squad.
Well, it does look like England and South Africa have both got big selection dilemmas ahead of them in the next couple of days. We'll find out for sure at about 3:30 on Friday afternoon when teams and toss is announced on the field at Newlands. Alfonso, thanks for joining us today. We look forward to you being part of our commentary on Friday alongside Harmy and Gareth Batty. But for now, we will be returning our gaze back to the England side and the questions in and around the squad, and talking a little bit about the left arm option afforded by Rhys Topley. He played in the last time England made it to a World T20. Could he be part of England's plans for 2021? You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2.
Here is John Smutson again, and Jason Roy goes the biggest one of all.
Yes.
Runs away from us up to the crease now, bowls. Oh, bowled him! He's bowled him! Here comes Tom Curran, last ball of the game, and it's paddle swept and down towards short fine leg, caught by Adil Rashid, and England have won the game by 2 runs.
You're listening to the Cricket Collective on TalkSport 2. Myself, John Norman, Steve Harmison alongside me with a preview of the 3 T20 series starting on TalkSport 2 exclusively on Friday afternoon. Harmy, we've discussed a lot about the England 11. What we haven't discussed is the England 14 and 15. We put aside Billings and also Topley at the start of the show, but I want to talk a little bit about Rhys Topley, because he was part of the England team the last time England played a World T20 back in 2016. He was actually dispatched by the West Indies. It was a bit of a chastening last game for him. I've spoken to his dad about it. Don Topley was a proud as punch to be out there watching his boy, but it possibly came a little bit too early for him in the end. Of course, he's had his injuries in and around that sense, but he's back in the squad. And I just want you to listen to this, because a couple of weeks ago when Ed Smith, the national selector, announced the squad. Now, you've never been in one of these press conferences with Ed. You know, he makes an art form of essentially answering the question he wants to answer. And he kind of approaches press conferences in the manner I imagine he did as a batsman, with, you know, half an hour of play to go, cloud coming over, wickets to protect at the other end, and he's just got to get through to close. But when he was asked a question about Rhys Topley, it all changed. And suddenly, he's batting, he's got 100 behind his under his belt, his team are 250 ahead, 2 days play to go, definite win. I just want you to hear him talking about Rhys Topley.
Rhys Topley is a very talented and difficult opponent. You know, one of the things that everyone in selection is very aware of is just how awkward he is to face. He's got pace, height, skill, movement, and angle of being left armer. So there's a lot there in his favour. And, you know, he's someone who, when he's able to play a string of games together and he is in good form, I think very quickly we see what he can bring to a white ball team. His form is good. We want to give him some opportunity. We also want to be sensible. We don't want him to get injured again. So we want to work with him to make sure that he's available all the way through. But yes, he is playing well, and he's someone who I can see making a serious contribution when he's on the field for England.
A fully fit Rhys Topley against a fully fit Sam Curran. A fully fit Rhys Topley batting at 11. a fully fit Sam Curran batting at eight. I can see an argument for Reece Topley. I know as we sit here now, it's difficult to see him getting into that team. But if you're looking for variety, if you're looking for a bowler who's going to take four overs and take wickets, in terms of the primary skill, doesn't Topley have a better case to make than Curran, Sam Curran?
No. Simple as that. Simple as
and
that.
And that's the cricket collective.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. I'm over the moon that Reece Topley's got himself in a position to play cricket again. Horrendous injuries, and I'm really pleased for him that he's getting recognition. Again, we look at the 2020 conundrum. The wheel of 2020 has been since it started, that we need a left armer in our side. England did very well in winning the T20 in 2010. Ryan Sidebottom's an exceptional bowler. He was our left arm seamer, and all of a sudden we think, right, because we had a left arm seamer when we were successful, and the stats show that having a left arm seamer gives you a decent option, a decent chance, then yes, fine, that's good. Not a problem at all. But when you look at Jofra Archer, Mark Wood bowling 90 plus mile an hour, we've just talked about South Africa's ridiculous pace attack in Ngidi, Rabada and Nokia, and we've got Chris Jordan who can bowl at a decent leg, not in that 90 mile an hour plus, and then you've got the two Curran brothers. I don't see how you get Reece Topley into the starting 11. Let me Reece Topley is what? How old is he? He's 26 years old. He's played 36 first class matches, 56 List A matches. He's been around for about 7 or 8 years. The kid's hardly played any. He's hardly played any cricket whatsoever. He's been around for 9 years. 2011, he made his Essex debut. Now, I don't want to pour water onto and say it's a wrong selection. It's not the wrong selection. It gives you options. But there's going to have to be a couple of injuries to give me the Reece Topley option. And to make the argument of Sam Curran against Reece Topley, I just don't see it whatsoever. This kid has just got 45 off 17 balls. 45 off 17 balls.
But do England need that? That isn't what England will need, is it? And also, you talk about number of games played. Mark Wood is 30, and he's played 50 first-class games, 80-odd List A games. I mean, and he's had his own injury problems. And that's the reason why he's played so little cricket. It's the same with Topley.
Mark Wood is a World Cup winner. Mark Wood has played in
Reece Topley came within a game or an over of being a World Cup winner himself in 2016.
That's my argument flawed then. So yeah, I know what you're saying. I just can't see how Topley has fitted into this squad. It doesn't make sense. And to have,
do you think it's an Ed Smith algorithm thing?
Of course it is. It's we've got an array of riches. We've struggled to get 13 down to 11. We could pick two out of the left field for 14 and 15. They ain't going to play. But all of a sudden, if they're in the squad, they go away county cricket, do well in the 100. All of a sudden, they could say, well, they were on my radar. No, they weren't, Ed. They were never on your radar because they were never really going to get picked. So, I sound awful saying this about Reece Topley because I actually want the kid to do well and play. But how is he getting to this point for me? How many games has he won for Surrey in the T20 Blast? How does he get to the position he's got to ahead of some other players who have actually done relatively well in the T20 Blast in T20 cricket? For me, it's just trying to be too smart for your own good and picking somebody left field to think, well, if he does all right in the Blast, well, he was in the squad. Well, he was in the squad, but he was never going to get picked. And that, for me, trying to put him in the Sam Curran bracket. This kid's just played for Chennai Super Kings in the IPL, even though Chennai were hopeless. This, to try and compare and try to put them in the same bracket at this moment in time, I think is are miles away, even in the bowling department, because of what Sam Curran has done when he's performed. This kid is he's a little gem. He's a little match winner. Even though I struggled to pick him for the longer format of the game, so I just can't see it. I just think it's a we have an array of riches, and we're going to pick somebody out of left field. And unfortunately, Rhys Topley's he's copped it off me for being guilt by association to Ed Smith, and I feel awful for saying that. But at the end of the day, I don't see that selection. Ollie Stone, I see that selection. The kid's got pace. He's quick. And he's shown when we've been out here in the games that he's bowled in. He's bowled lively. You see the wicket he got when he got Johnny Bairstow. I don't see the mileage in Topley in this squad.
Alfonso Thomas saying that he can't see anything other than an England win, the strength of depth. I mean, we talked about that with Mark Butcher as well. As we approach the end of the show, Harmy, in terms of the T20 series, what are you expecting?
I'm expecting England to win. A huge, huge onus on De Kock and Du Plessis. I look at this South African side and I see if De Kock, Bavuma, Van der Dussen, Du Plessis, Miller. You had AB de Villiers in there in England. It's a different game for England. But I think if the both bowling lineups turn up in these three-match series and England can knock over De Kock early, then I think England can win this series very, very comfortably. It's going to be interesting and intriguing to see what 11 England pick for that first game.
Brilliant stuff. Well, you will be able to find that out exclusively live on Friday afternoon on TalkSport 2 at 3:30 in and around. And Steve Harmison will be one of the voices bringing you the action throughout the match at Cape Town before attention turns to the second T20 in Paarl on Sunday. Harmy will be part of the coverage for that as well. For now, Harmy, lovely to have you on. I know you're going to be doing breakfast as well with Big Al on Thursday morning. So busy times, especially with your new show on Sunday evenings as well on Talk Sport. So busy man, Steve Harmison. We're absolutely delighted he's part of TalkSport 2's cricket coverage and also part of the Cricket Collective, which is what you've been listening to over the last hour. A preview of the T20 series between South Africa and England that gets underway at the end of the week. Thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.